Take your Bible and turn to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, and we'll be looking at verses 27 to 42 this evening. And this is a passage in which we see the full weight of Jesus' task come upon him. And he understands what is lying ahead for him in his death. It's very clear that the disciples don't understand it. But even as we see him in his agony, we see him as a personal and caring Savior who is concerned for the spiritual growth of his disciples, even in his bitterest agony. So let's begin by reading this passage here. I'll begin in verse 27 of Mark chapter 14. Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he saith to his disciples, Sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh a third time and saith unto them, Sleep on now, take your rest, it is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. There's a story about a man who was an amateur architect, and he decided that he was going to draw up the plans to build his own house. So he drew up the plans, and he presented his plans to the builder, and he said, I want you to follow these plans exactly. These are good plans. I know what I'm doing when I'm planning my house, and you don't deviate from these plans. And so the builder said, okay, I'll do it. And the amateur architect went away on a trip, came back, went through the house. The builder was showing him went through the first level. And he said, okay, everything looks good. It's exactly to the plan on the first level here. Let's go upstairs. And the builder said, we can't go upstairs. And the other man said, why not? He said, there's no staircase. He said, what do you mean there's no staircase? What kind of builder are you? You didn't put a staircase in the house with a second story. And the builder laid out the plans, said, there's no staircase in these plans that you made up. And he realized that, you know, he was a little bit too self-confident in his own plans. And what we see here is a reminder of our tendency to be self-confident, even in the area of obeying the Lord. We tend to think that perhaps we're capable of doing more than we can. We don't understand our own propensity for sinning, for failure. But the encouraging thing is that Jesus does understand. Jesus knows your sinful nature. He understands your sinful nature. He knows all about it. And we see that in this text tonight, in the fact that Jesus was able to warn Peter of his fall. He knew Peter's propensity, the possibility that there was that he would fail. And we also see in Jesus' agony that he was acutely aware of what it was that was causing that agony, and that was our sin. So Jesus knows our sinful nature. He knows all about it, and that's the help that we need because we don't understand it. We don't even understand our own propensity to evil. But Jesus does. And what we see here in this text is a strategy that he gives us for victory. And he can give us that strategy because he is aware of our sinful nature. Because he knows your sinful nature, follow the strategy for victory. Because he knows your sinful nature, follow the strategy for victory. And in verses 27 to 31, we see the first part of that strategy, and that is simply to humbly heed his warnings about sin. Humbly heed his warnings about sin. And we see that beginning in verse 27. Look at verse 27 again. Jesus saith unto them, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee." So Jesus specifically tells the disciples that all of them would be offended. And that word offended, it can have the idea of just to be shocked or angered or something. But the idea here is to fall, to be caught or overwhelmed in a trap. Caught in a trap, literally, is what Jesus is predicting about them. And he predicts that about all of them, not just Peter. No one of those disciples was above being caught. They were all capable of being caught. Only one of them was going to be the betrayer. But all of them had that potential to be caught in the trap of sin. And the event that would trigger that fall would be something that God caused himself. We see Jesus quotes from Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7. And it says, "I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered." And the scattering of the sheep is really specifies what that trap would be. They would face the trap of running away from Jesus. They would fall into the trap of ditching him, of forsaking him. And Jesus warns them of that specifically. But the point is that Jesus could see the specific way in which they were vulnerable. He knew that. He could see that coming. So what does that teach us about heeding his warning? Well, first of all, that means that we need to recognize our true vulnerability to sin. Recognize our vulnerability to sin. If Jesus says that about his disciples, certainly he would say that about us too. We have a vulnerability, a real, true vulnerability to sin, and we need to recognize that. That's the first part of heeding his warning about sin, recognizing our vulnerability. But then notice what Jesus says in verse 28. He gives them some hope here. "But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee." So he gives them another prophecy. Hey, I'm going to die, but we're going to get back together after I'm risen. And so that should have helped them, that prophecy, that word from Jesus, should have helped them to avoid the trap of scattering. When they faced that trap of running away, when Jesus was betrayed and arrested and they run, what should they have been thinking about? They should have been thinking about what Jesus said. I'm going to rise again, and I'm going to lead you into Galilee. And so, wait a minute, I don't need to scatter. I can stay right here. They should have been meditating on that word, but instead, they scatter. And that teaches us another aspect of heeding his warning, and that is receiving the help to avoid sin from careful attention to God's word. So not only do we need to recognize our vulnerability, but receive the help that God gives us. And where does God give us the help that we need to avoid sin? He gives it to us through his word. And that's something that the scripture teaches over and over again. Psalm 119, we see that. Psalm 119, verse 9, talks about how shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. And another place in Psalm 119, I think Psalm 119, 11, says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And so the strategy for victory here involves heeding the warning and receiving God's word. That's the help to avoid sin. Receiving God's word, his prophecies, the truths that we know that he gives us here. And Jesus gave those to his disciples. So recognize your true vulnerability to sin. Receive help to avoid sin from careful attention to God's word. And then we see something else in verses 29 to 31 through this interaction with Peter. And at first, when we think about Peter, we could almost take Peter's words as, that's a noble thing that Peter said. He's trying to express loyalty to Jesus, and that seems okay. But I think when we consider what Peter is doing, really he is dealing with some unbelief. Jesus is telling him, giving him a strong warning of something that he will do, and yet Peter directly contradicts it. We see in verse 29, Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And then Jesus repeats this warning to him specifically in verse 30. And then in verse 31, he flatly denies it, but he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. And all the disciples echo that same thought. But we see in verse 29 that Peter confidently compares himself to the other disciples and sets himself up above them. He says, even if all the rest of these guys are offended, if they fall into the trap, I'm not going to. I'm better than they are. So he's comparing himself and to his own advantage, putting himself up above everyone else. And then in verse 31, that's where he flatly contradicts Jesus' warning. And Jesus states that warning to him very precisely. I mean, he says in verse 30 that it's going to happen this day, and then narrows it down even more, in this night, and then even more further, before the cock crow twice, stating a specific time at night, before that cock would crow twice, Peter would deny Christ. So very specific there, but Peter contradicts it. And he does it as a representative of the disciples as well. So what is Peter showing here? He's showing his self-confidence. And of course, that's a negative example here, but how do we heed the warning that Jesus gives us about sin? We need to resist that. Resist the self-confidence. Resist what Peter was displaying here. Resist self-confidence. Matthew Henry wrote about Peter in his commentary. He said, if he had said with fear and trembling, Lord, give me grace to keep me from denying thee. Lead me not into this temptation. Deliver me from this evil. It might have been prevented. But they were all thus confident. They who said, Lord, is it I, now said, it shall never be me. So Peter should have reacted a little more humbly. He should have said, "Really, Lord? Help me. Deliver me from this temptation." He should have resisted that self-confidence. So Jesus shows us that He knows your sinful nature. He knows more about you than you know about you. And especially when it comes to your propensity to sin. He knows all about that. And because He does, we need to heed His warning. As if that warning is given to everyone here in this room. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for 60 years or more. You still need to heed this warning about sin. Because we are always capable, we're always vulnerable to sin. And we need to ask the Lord to help us with this, to reveal to us our sin. You know, He knows all about it. Ask Him to reveal it. Show us what that sin is so we can be warned and stay away from it. Jesus knows all about that. So we need to heed His warning about sin. And then in verses 32 to 34, we see another part of the strategy for victory. Not only do we need to heed Jesus' warnings about sin, but we see in verses 32 to 42 that we must fight. We must fight hard against sin. Heed His warnings, but also fight hard against sin. And we see the disciples going into the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus asks them to sit while He goes to pray. And then we begin to see a description of His agony. We see His agony here witnessed. And verse 33, it says that he took Peter, James, and John with Him. And you say, why did He take the disciples with Him and then take those three again? Was it because He needed their support? Perhaps it was because He wanted their sympathy for what He was going through. But I think another reason why He took them was so that they could witness what He was going through. They could see that agony that He was facing. The disciples directly witnessed that intense agony. And then Jesus Himself testifies of that agony. Look at verse 34 again. Oh, actually, end of verse 33. It tells us that He began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. Those terms, sore amazed, that has the idea of being distressed. And to be very heavy has the idea of being anxious. And verse 34, He testifies Himself. He says unto them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death." So His agony is so great at this point that He's almost at the point of death. That's how great His distress, His anxiety, His agony is. He's almost there. He's almost to that point of death. And then we read of His prayer that He makes, verses 35 and 36. And even in His prayer, it shows us His agony that He goes through. His posture in His prayer shows His agony. Verse 35, it says, He went forward a little and fell onto the ground. So He's under such pressure at this time. He goes into the garden. He takes His disciples, then those three. He goes a little farther, and then He just falls because of that weight that's upon Him. And the posture that He's praying points to His agony. And then we read about the petitions that He gives. And we see that. A description of His petition there at the end of verse 35. And He prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from Him. Verse 36, and He said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto Thee. Take away this cup from Me." So what He prays to the Father, I think, really reveals the true cause of His agony, especially those that term hour and that term cup. Those are descriptions, that hour, the specific time in God's appointed plan that was predetermined for his suffering and death. That hour he knows is coming, and he's feeling the weight of that. And then he prays that this cup would be removed from him, that cup, a figure of what he's about to undergo, and the God's wrath that he was going to face, that cup of suffering. So I think those terms point to the fact that he understood that this time that he was about to go through was more than just human death. He was going to face death as a human. But it was more than that. He was going to face God's wrath. And as the scriptures tell us, Galatians 3:13, he was going to be made a curse for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 talks about him being made sin. Mark 10:45, he was going to give his life a ransom for many. And certainly as he goes to approach that time, he feels that weight of what is really going to happen. And he's sensing that agony. Then the final part of his prayer in verse 36 shows us his willingness to endure that agony. He says, "Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt." So as he comes to face that suffering, he comes willingly. Because this is what he wants to do. He has perfect obedience to the Father now. So what does that show us about fighting hard against sin? I think it shows us that as we fight against sin, we would be wise to remember the agony that your sin brought upon Jesus. Remember the agony that your sin brought upon Jesus. So when you fight against sin, and there's that temptation to do something, to look at something inappropriate, to say something inappropriate, kids, to lash out at your mom, say something back at her, or to do something to your sibling, or whatever it is, temptation to sin, what should you do? Remember what that sin did to Jesus. Remember the agony that he suffered in the garden, that he began to suffer in the garden. He did that because of your sin. And how could you do that sin and remember that he was suffering for it? And he was going to die for that sin. Remember the agony that your sin produced for Jesus. That's how you start to fight against sin. Remember what it did to Jesus. And then Jesus gives us a specific strategy here for victory over sin in verses 37 to 42. He comes and he finds them sleeping. Verse 37, "Saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou?" A little bit of a jab there, what Peter had just said, and now he's sleeping. "Couldest not thou watch 1 hour?" Then look at this, verse 38, "Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak." So what's the strategy here? Well, first part is to remain alert to spiritual attacks. That's the idea of watching. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. It's the idea of being awake. So Jesus says if we're going to fight against sin, we need to wake up to the spiritual attacks around us. Stay alert to what's going on. And that specifically applies to the disciples here because Jesus knows that they're about to face that moment where they're going to be tempted to scatter. And so he says, hey, wake up. Be alert to what's about to happen. I've just told you what's going to happen. Now be alert to it. Don't sleep. Spiritually, stay awake and be alert to those sources of temptation. And then he says in verse 38, not only watch, but also pray. That's a reminder that we need to depend on God through prayer for his help to fight sin. That's a reminder that we can't do it on our own. We need his help. So we say, Lord, help. We have to recognize that he's ultimately the one that gives that help to avoid sin. And then he reminds us of the reason that we need to follow that strategy. Verse 38 at the end, the Spirit truly is ready. There's a part of us, our inner man, that desires to do this. But there's another part of us that holds us back. The flesh is weak. And the failure of the disciples demonstrate that difficulty. They fail at the most critical time. When that temptation is almost there, they're failing. And what does that show us about the Lord? It shows us that he truly, not only does he know us, but he cares about us. And even in that time of his agony, when he's thinking about God's wrath coming upon him, he's also thinking about his disciples. And he knows they're about to face that temptation. And he gives them that help. Right in his most difficult time, he says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. So Jesus knows our sinful nature. He knows it more than we do. He knows it better than we do. And because he knows it, he knows about it, we need to follow the strategy that he gives for victory over it. And that is, first of all, to heed his warnings. We need to listen to these warnings that he gives his disciples as if they were given to us. Because we're just as weak as the disciples were. So humbly heed his warnings about sin, and then fight hard against sin. Remember the agony that your sin produced for Jesus. And then watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer for us. And we are amazed when we think that he did this for us. He suffered that agony. Help us to remember and to think upon that. Think upon this scene in the garden where he begins to face this. And help us to avoid sin. Help us to fight hard against it and to be alert to temptations around us. And we pray that you would deliver us from evil. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.